At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore on the bye week preparation for Falcons. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, here we go. Kellen Moore, love him like a brother. Looks like he got a fresh haircut. He's talking about the preparation for Atlanta. Remember the scheduling spot, okay? I've been talking about it. You probably know it by now. Say it with me. Berlin, then they lose in overtime. They got to fly back to the States, lose in overtime again. No bye week, no rest to the Panthers. Then they got to travel to New Orleans. Tough for Atlanta. Meanwhile, New Orleans went to Charlotte, smacked up the Panthers, came back, bye week, rested, relaxed, prepared.
All right, I will start with medical. Obviously feel good with where we're at, really from a roster standpoint. No new injuries occurred over the week or anything like that. The two guys coming out of the game were that did not play in the game were Jack Stoll and Tolly with their ankles, and so we'll see how those progress as the week goes. And our guys are back in today. They had some really...
How about that, huh? November 18th, and the Saints are relatively healthy. Just kind of chilling. Like where we're at from a medical standpoint, who knows? Maybe the way Kellen handled training camp and all that, maybe it worked.
Really good work, between lifts and some field work and get our guys back in here acclimated after the bye week. It was a really productive bye week, I think, for everyone, just from a self-scout evaluation standpoint, but also from the mental and the physical, break that you allow yourself to have. And so feel good with where we're heading and excited for the opportunities moving forward.
Scouting process like amongst you and the coaching staff?
All three phases will kind of, coordinators will kind of lead it. Essentially just going back through all the different categories that we you're responsible for throughout the season, different guys that tee up different responsibilities and game planning. Just go through it all. It paints a really good picture for you. It allows you to kind of recognize the things that you feel good about, the things that you want to improve and learn from. It's always good to kind of go through that. And you do that to some extent during the season, each and every week. I think the bye week allows you to really just kind of dive into it even more. And so, it's great resource. It's a really good, piece of information that you can collect and kind of make some adjustments from there. And so, there's circumstances always with that data. You got to do a really good job of digging into it. But I think it's really productive for all three phases.
Got to love when the guy has a plan for the bye week, right? You got to love when there's an efficiency, operational infrastructure built into a bye week.
Kind of some of the takeaways when you looked at the offense, just from a self-scouting perspective.
Yeah, I think, progress is always the goal and just continue to progress. And I think, for us, situational football comes up a lot. And obviously, red zone's an area that, you look into, you try and find, just because every time you're down there, the value of a touchdown is huge. And so right now that's a big opportunity for us to grow in. Some of the run game things is opportunities to grow in, create explosive plays. There's always little margins that hopefully we can improve on.
You also got to love whenever, and he – very softly, basically just named what they need to get better in, some of the stuff that he's seeing that is not good enough. And you got to love when he rattles it off, no problem. Those are the pain points. 100%. You can give cliche answers or whatever, but for him to say, yeah, red zone, running the ball, situational stuff, like that's explosive. Like we got to get better there. True. 100%. So he's seeing things same way we're seeing things. No idea what the sales question is. He might as well be in a different place.
There we go. Self-scouting and to help his development even more.
Yeah, Tyler got a couple games under his belt before the bye week, and so we can kind of utilize that information, collect what happened over the course of those two games. I thought, obviously, we felt good with where things were trending coming out of the Carolina game, and hopefully we can continue to progress there. I thought, Tyler's had a good couple weeks.
What were your main takeaways when you looked at those couple of starts from him during the self-scouting?
Yeah, I think... I think he's doing a good job. He's operating at a really high level. The operation feels really clean. I think some of the things that showed up was make some plays on some hard downs. And I think that's credit to Tyler and these guys on offense making some plays, third downs, red zone, 2-minute drives. Like those are hard situations and those can be challenging. And so, for him to make some big time plays in that, obviously credit to those guys. They extended drives and created some points.
Agreed.
How much have you learned about the Saints-Falcons rivalry?
Yeah, definitely one that we've talked a lot about. Obviously, this will be my first experience. I'm excited about this opportunity. You know, we know the importance of certainly your division game, certainly with these guys, you know, the rich history of this this game. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think as this week progresses, you know, a lot of us are going to get to experience it for the first time, which we're excited for.
The biggest game of Kellen's life was in the Superdome last year with the Super Bowl. The second biggest game of his life is this Sunday. This is Super Bowl 2.0. It just so happens to be against the Falcons, but he's got to win this game. And man, could the bye week, I mean, perfect time for the bye week. So I'm excited to see what Kellen's cooked up for the last couple of weeks.
Are you aware of the rivalry before arriving here, or is that something you kind of learn about throughout your process here?
No, I think you're aware of it. Being at different places, you know, there's rich history throughout this entire NFL. There's always these fun rivalry games wherever you're at, whatever team yeah. you coach or play for. And so, you know, this is going to be a really fun one. I'm really excited about this one. And I know the importance that it's going to carry.
With the players getting the week off, what did the bye week look like for the coaching staff? Did y'all take any time away from?
Yeah. We got some work on the front end, and then obviously, you know, I think it's important for everyone to get away and rejuvenate and kind of recharge the batteries physically, mentally. Everyone kind of had a chance to get away in their own capacity, and so you know, for everyone, that's going to look a little bit different. Everyone's, you know, family situation may be a little bit different whether you travel or stay here, and so yeah, I think that's productive for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to certainly to recharge, recalibrate, and reset, especially for the Saints where. It kind of is a new season, and they can kind of forget about the beginning, take that win against Carolina, go into the bye week, do what you got to do, sit in the sauna, sit in the spa, get in the cryo chamber, whatever, doesn't matter to me, and then be ready for basically week one against the Atlanta Falcons. The back half of this season is will lay the groundwork one way or the other for the entire offseason. How they approach the draft, how they approach free agency, what they look to add, what they look to subtract, it will set the tone for next season. Okay? That's how important this part of the schedule is and this part of the season is. What happened against the Cardinals and the 49ers and the Patriots and whatever. Wipe it away. All that matters now is from now until the end of the season.
What do you ask of the players during a bye week, for instance?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, yeah, they need to recharge. They need to, you know, embrace all the good in life. I think that's one important
thing. Get some FC 26 in.
The thing is, there's a lot of good in life. There's a lot of good things that you can go, you know, recharge with. And so whether it's family, yeah. friends, all the other things, while still, you know, getting yourself physically ready to go and ramp back up for another back end of the season. And so I thought our guys came really ready to go today. You can feel the juice and the energy. You can also feel like they're ready to get back to playing football. And so I feel like it's been really productive.
Love it.
You guys have, you ran tempo a lot the first three games especially. It's been a little lighter. Is there something that, is it just game situation? Did you want to stop running it less?
No. Game situations maybe, but yeah, it's always an important part of, I think, of our offense. And part of that is putting yourself in situations that allow you to play with tempo. I think, you know, when you play games, you got to be conscious of just going really, really fast and, you know, having really quick three and outs. That's a really unproductive thing for three phases. And, you know, as games go, there's ebbs and flows with that. But I think it's an important aspect of our offense.
It's a chess match, you know, and that's how the NFL is played now. The NFL now is played on a per play basis where you have to be ready to pivot, all that stuff, every single play, you know, to figure out the game state, figure out the whole situation, and then act accordingly. So,
this offense has an identity after when you went back and watched it, their core elements, you noticed that you wanted to implement and did so. How did that?
I felt like, I felt like our run game, you know, I felt like there was some consistency in that this past week. I thought that was awesome, and it takes all 11. You know, I thought the offense line was coming off the ball. You know, Alvin and the backs, I thought there was some physicality in that run game. I think the perimeter guys, you know, it takes those guys to create those big-time runs. And so I love that, you know, I feel like the run game's starting to come alive. We got to progress there so we can build that opportunity where we can play in this run game, action game, movement game on first and second down. Now, ultimately, that's what we want to be.
For
Bryce Young yesterday to throw over 400 yards. What does that tell you about your defense that, you know, you prevented him from doing that and coming off that performance?
Yeah.
We call that an anomaly, ladies and gentlemen. I wouldn't put too much into Bryce Young throwing for 450 yards with a 6-yard A dot, but you know,
our defense, I felt like our defense played well in that game. Did a really good job of keeping a roof on it, preventing, you know, the big plays. And I thought our guys just played really, really fast and physical football. And it's the NFL, and every week's a completely different challenge, battle that you have to create. And every game's different. Every game turns out to be a little bit of a different narrative. And so you got to be able to play these different styles and overcome a challenge here and there. And so, credit to those guys in Carolina. You know, Bryce responded really well. He played really well against these guys, made some big time plays, got the victory. And, so now there'll be another challenge for us as well.
Trivia. Since 1952, who has the most passing yards in a game in NFL history or in the NFL? Since 1952, who has the most passing yards in a game? Anybody? One, two, three. Matt Schaub. There you go.
You mentioned ahead of the... Just go back to the run game real quick. You mentioned before the...
Pop quiz number two. Matt Schaub. What college did he go to? One, two, three. Virginia.
Carolina game about the importance of blocking as a unit, or protection as a unit, as mm-hmm. opposed to individual. Did you see a better sort of unification in the run game on Sunday?
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, whenever we last played. I felt like it was a much cleaner operation. I think you didn't see the negative runs. I felt like we were, you know, there's those 3 and 4 yard runs, which keep you at least on course, you know, and I think that's a key to the run game is you got to keep yourself on course. And then eventually we create those explosive opportunities. And
true.
I think there was a good mix of them, whether they be with some tempo plays, some huddle calls. I felt like our guys just battled really, really well in the run game. It allowed us to play more mixed down, first and second down football with some of the action game and some of those things.
Yeah, if you're not running, like, even just a 3-yard run, like going from first and 10 to second and 7 is a whole lot different than going from first and 10 to second and 11 or second and 10. Got to just keep moving. Got to keep just, you know, 3 yards, 4 yards, whatever. And then the run game can be a part of the offense. But Kellen has shown, like, if it's not there, he is not just going to go and run on first down and set himself up for second and tens. He will do something else. So, yeah, against Carolina, the run game was a huge part of the offense.
Are going to be without Michael Penix and believe that Drake London is also going to at least miss this week. How do you approach that with them missing two of them?
Watch this absolute class right here. I guarantee you the first thing Kellen says is, well, you hate to hear about an injury. You never want a player to be hurt, whatever.
Top offensive guys.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how all that progresses. Obviously fortunate for them. They have, you know, Kirk as a backup quarterback who, you know, for in this league's been one of the top guys for a really, really long time. And so, they got to feel fortunate to have Kirk available and ready to go if that circumstance presents itself. They're a really deep offense. They've invested a lot on that side. Obviously, they still have one of the best running backs in this league that's going to have a huge impact on this game. And so it'll be a lot of fun.
All right, never mind. My fault.
Going up against... You know, a young quarterback that was kind of getting his first exposure to the league, and then now, you know, a veteran quarterback that's kind of seen it all.
Yeah,
it changes completely. Mostly because Cousins is ass.
I think you're reaching that point where Penix has played quite a bit of football now over the course of last year, back in last year and this year, and so he's kind of reaching that threshold where he's almost played a full season. Kirk's seen a lot of football. He's got a great understanding of this game, as well as any quarterback in this league. He's going to challenge you because he's going to have a great feel for what you're doing defensively. And I think it goes back to our guys playing really good fundamental football, playing really tied together. I just thought going back to the Carolina game for our guys specifically, the way our guys competed, but the way our guys were just connected, I thought was a really, really good example playing complementary team-oriented defense football. You know, the plays that – you know, when a guy makes a play, usually there's two or three other guys that had a huge impact on it as well. And so it's going to take a group effort. Whoever plays quarterback for them, obviously they're two really talented players. And so stylistically, they may have a few differences here and there, but we'll have to prepare for both.
You know, metrics can be really hard for showing the performance of offensive linemen from the outside, from trying to grade on the outside. But with Kelvin Maggs, what's your best way to gauge when you think he's doing well? What do you look at, and what is your review of him so far?
Yeah, I feel awesome.
I think he's been good.
About Kelvin.
Yeah, I think he's been really good.
When you play left tackle in this league, I think he does a really good job of being assignment sound. He plays some really hard downs. We call these, certain situations just hard downs. The left tackles in this league have hard downs. They have third downs where they're one-on-one with really good rushers.
Well, the hard thing, too, with the Saints this season has been that because the team was struggling and they were down a majority of the season, the defensive line and the defensive ends are teeing off. Like, they know they're throwing. They know, hey, they're down three scores. All they can do is throw. They ran the ball 6 times this game. So those defensive ends are letting it fly. So even as hard as it already was, Banks is basically dealing with just the hardest version of playing left tackle, where you get defensive ends who know exactly what's happening.
It's different than some of the other positions. You know, on the offensive line, you're going to be in a little bit of a one-on-one situation, and so you're going to play in some more challenging situations than other people. I thought he's done just a really consistent job throughout this entire season. And the awesome thing I think about Kelvin is when you see something come up that maybe didn't play out the way he wanted to, you don't see the same mistake a second time. You see him react and make an adjustment, within games, the next week, so on and so forth. And his demeanor is just really, really special to me. This league, there's really talented players, and someone may get you. And then he doesn't let it bother him one bit the next play. He responds the right way. And so
the best thing about a top 10 left tackle draft pick / rookie is when you're not talking about him. And no one's talking about Kelvin Banks. That is a great way to grade how good he's been. Because that's the focus of everything. Is, oh, they took a rookie 9th overall. He's playing left tackle. Oh, he's playing against whoever this week. Let's see how it goes. The fact that he's just kind of flying under the radar. Some people just kind of forgot he's even out there. Best thing possible.
I feel really fortunate that we were able to draft Kelvin. I think he's going to be a big-time left tackle for us for a really long time.
Good.
Charting data has Fuaga and Banks I guess it's on an island is the term of one-on-one without much help. Mm-hmm. Is that a philosophy that you have of trusting young tackles in that situation? What kind of goes on?
It's kind of just playing tackle.
Yeah, I think by game plans, there's different opportunities. Obviously, when you need to help these guys
it's usually when you see big dog Jack Stoll get in the backfields when they need some help. If you see him motion into the backfield, that's what he's there for.
Matchups is certainly an important aspect. I think our guys have done a really good job of handling those one-on-one situations, quarterbacks getting the ball out of their hands, not creating those sack opportunities. And so every game plan is a little bit different, but I think those guys are really special players, and I feel really good about them.
How do you contextualize things like pressure numbers, for instance? I think a lot of people will throw up this player allowed this many pressures, and that means this. How do you actually contextualize that on your own?
Yeah, obviously it's a data point, so you're always going to try and collect as many data points as you can as you're.
I mean, doesn't he sound like me? How many times have y'all heard me say exactly that? Listen, I don't want to be that guy. But there's not a doubt in my mind Kellen watches the show. Not a doubt in my mind. I've seen him say too many things. I've seen it with my own eyes. Where I've seen him say and do too many things. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe he's watching the channel. If I had to bet, I would bet he's watching the channel.
Game planning or evaluating what you're doing on offense or as a team in general. And so it's an important aspect. I think our guys, I think there's a combination from a pressure standpoint of quarterback play, offensive lineman, obviously on an individual one-on-one standpoint. But I feel like our guys are progressing well, and I feel really good about these tackles.
There's times where, you talk about collecting data points. So there's the total number, but then if you look at them individually, you might find that, are all pressures created equal, or do you find times where it's that has more to do with this than that?
Yeah, I think there's some contextual things. I think just like our self-scout, we can just throw a bunch of numbers up there and say we have this many sacks, and then, okay, let's look through all these sacks. What situations are we creating ourselves? What situations are we putting ourselves in? Are there a lot of, unfortunate big leads or, second and long situations, second down has a few more sacks than we'd want, but part of that is, okay, we're looking at the numbers and okay, there's second and 10s and 12s in here that, okay, now let's go back to how can we avoid these situations, put ourselves in better.
This is wild. I feel like I'm talking in the mirror. This is nuts. I feel like I'm sitting here talking to myself. I let him go a little bit there, but what I was going to say is the way you should, and I told you all this before, the way I would look at a data point if I had all the time in the world is I would take it and then I would go find the play and then track the context. Like interceptions. Not all interceptions are the same, right? An interception with 2 seconds left on the clock at the end of the half where you just huck up a Hail Mary and it gets intercepted in the end zone, that is very different than, you know, first and 10 in the whatever second quarter and you throw an out route and you don't see the cornerback and you throw it right to the corner. Like, that's very different. A pass off of a wide receiver's hands. They got the perfect pass into the wide receiver's hands. Boom, off his hands, straight up in the air, gets picked off. That's very different than not reading the safety and throwing it to the safety's chest. So I would take any data point that I'm looking at, sack, you know, whatever, and then I go to the play, track it, write down news, you know, notes and golden tidbits, and then go from there. We saw a sack that Kelvin Banks gave up during the draft process. His one of his only sacks given up was on Quinn Ewers. 100% on Quinn Ewers. Yeah, it went down as a sack, but that should have been on the quarterback.
More favorable situations, and so it's all really good information for us to collect and put ourselves in, you know, better situations moving forward.
And don't forget this too about data. Like, data is just kind of it is what it is. It's more about what you do with it. Like, anyone can collect the data, but then it's like, all right, how do you implement it? What does it mean? What are you going to do with that? How do you adjust? Is it important? Is it not important? You know, like defensive pass yards allowed. I think that's one of the most overrated defensive metrics out there. But a lot of people just look at that, right? Like, defensive passing yards allowed, sort by, okay, there's your best pass defense. So that's not always the case. You know, so data is more about how you use it than just it existing on its own.
You talk about Tyler's improved footwork and kind of the drills you guys run in practice. Like, what do you kind of look for? Is it like the individual? Could you just expand on like what you guys do that has led to Tyler's like better feet?
Yeah. From an individual standpoint, there's obviously a lot of fundamental opportunities you have during practice. Scott Tolzien does an awesome job with these guys, working with them just from a fundamental standpoint, drilling and putting yourself in as many of these situations as possible. I think there's always two parts to development from a footwork standpoint for quarterbacks. There's the ideal setting where you have to play with rhythm and timing, and you want, when you have the ideal situation, you want to play in ideal timing, and that's a really, really important aspect. And so that's the first part, but then there's the part of inevitably you have to move off your spot, the timing.
This was a big Caleb Williams thing. So early on in Caleb Williams's career, he was forcing himself into the unstructured because that's where he was more comfortable. You got to be able, when things are perfect, you got to be able to play when things are perfect. When they break down, you got to be able to do that. You can't only do one or not do both or not, you know, be able to do both or whatever. Caleb's getting better at that now. But I remember early on, he would take a perfect pocket, perfect rhythm, perfect tempo, and all of a sudden he would basically make it a broken play. He would make it to where he's holding on to the ball too long. He escapes the pocket for no reason. There's actually a stat of quarterback like mobility, and it tracks why they leave the pocket. It tracks from like pressure, blitz, rollout, and then there's another one that's basically just like on their own. And it's always interesting to see the quarterbacks that leave the pocket on their own at a high clip, and it's because they just aren't comfortable, right? They aren't comfortable in that, you know, tempo, rhythm, drop back, back foot hits, make your read, let it rip. They kind of want to improvise a little bit more. That's just their comfortable place.
Different. And so you got to work both of these environments. And so they do a lot of different drills. I think that's the one thing. It's a creative element. You're constantly trying to put yourself in different situations in practice. Okay, we're going to put ourselves in a, you know, step up situation. Okay, now we're going to put ourselves in a situation where you can't step up. Okay, how do we react to this? Okay, maybe it's to the left or the right. You know, I think Tyler's done a really nice job as our entire quarterback group has, I think, of playing that way. And so Tyler had some really good examples the last 2 weeks of stepping up in the pocket. I think that's a big challenge for a lot of younger quarterbacks.
Again, this is crazy. I say this all the time. A huge difference in college and the pros is most college quarterbacks escape the pocket from the back. They leave the pocket from the back and try and do like these big looping rollouts because most of the time, their athleticism carries them and they can escape from rushers or they're faster than the defensive players or whatever. In the pros, you got to do the opposite. You got to escape from the, you got to climb the pocket, and you got to escape from the front. And you see this all the time. If quarterbacks start looping backwards in the pros, the play is dead. The defensive players are too athletic. Never happens. So you got to learn how to climb the pocket, navigate the pocket forward, and then if you got to escape, you got to escape. But yeah, usually in college, and if you watch college like this weekend, watch it, and you're going to watch or see a majority of those quarterbacks escape from the back of the pocket.
Coming into this league is you got to step up and through the pocket, getting out behind it while you can. You certainly can. There's probably more challenges and that come up, you know, in those situations.
Isn't this crazy?
Way too simple, but is stepping up like kind of the key to avoiding sacks?
Well, I think
it's part of it.
I think it's the cleanest opportunity, but it takes everyone being tied together. I mean, obviously, we need the interior of the offensive line protecting at a really high level that allows you to create that pocket to step up, keep your eyes downfield, make really good decisions. I think, you know, obviously there's been some progress there, I think, in a positive manner.
To the point of having that ideal timing, obviously not all the time. So much was made of his play out of the structure of the offense against Carolina. When you're evaluating a quarterback, how important is it to see it work within the structure of the offense?
As well? Super important. Super important. I mean, you got to be able to work inside the structure. It is great to be able to improvise, work outside of the structure, whatever. But especially for someone like Kellen, whose offense is all tempo, rhythm, whatever, you got to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, kind of talking about those two environments. I think it's important that, you know, guys got to be able to execute in both environments. You know, there's an element of when things are perfect. Yeah. We want it to go well and be clean and execute when that opportunity presents itself. But at the same time, you know, the best quarterbacks in this league have an off schedule component of them.
Look
at all these guys, their ability to play off schedule and make plays in those situations. Credit to Tyler and our guys of making certainly some big time plays in this past game in those settings. And I think that leads you to extended drives, big plays, and ultimately points.
True.
Dan came out last week and said, you know, Mickey's not going anywhere. I'm just wondering what that does for you as, you know, your coach and your relationship with Mickey and knowing that he'll be here for the future and what that does for your guys.
Pretty good question. And there's no doubt, like, the hallmark of a good team or organization is like everything's just the same. It allows itself to build. It allows itself to have a foundation and to grow and to build something or whatever. Constantly getting rid of GMs, coaches, quarterbacks, whatever, it just introduces like this constant chaos. I mean, think about if you work somewhere. If your supervisor changed every 6 months, you wouldn't know what the hell was going on, right? Every 6 months, you're learning somebody else, learning new rhythm, learning new practices, learning new whatever. In order to really thrive as a company, organization, business, team, is to have some kind of just foundation. So Kellen's building something. It's pretty obvious, right? The best thing for Kellen, the best thing, like it starts at the bottom. The best thing for Tyler Shuck is for Kellen to stay as the head coach. The best thing for Kellen to stay as the head coach is Mickey Loomis, right? It's all the same. Like, that's what's going to give Kellen the best chance to succeed is if Mickey, who brought him in, believes in him, supports him, is there to just keep giving him resources and whatever. And then the best thing for Tyler is that Kellen, the guy who drafted him, the vision, all that stuff, to just keep learning from him. So as it just drips down. But if any of that changes, it throws a huge variable into it, right? Like, if Mickey and Tyler stay there, but Kellen is replaced by Ron Rivera, it's like, okay, well, now that changes the locker room, changes what Tyler's learning, changes this, changes that, you know, changes just, it's just an added wrinkle that doesn't need to happen. So for Kellen, understanding, and I'm sure he heard this before he was hired, because everyone knew the Saints were rebuilding, but to know all I got to focus on is my job, all I got to focus on is building something here, takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, I've had a great opportunity to work with Mrs. Benson and Mickey and the rest of our leadership. And, you know, I think, you know, again, it's always important to have a plan and to be able to build it together collectively. And so, you know, I think we have an awesome group here. It's a group that allows us to kind of build it in a really clean manner that, you know, leans on certainly the experience of Mickey's and a number of our personnel guys has been awesome for us to utilize. And so, you know, I'm excited for where we're going. I'm excited, you know, the way our guys have handled some challenging situations early in this year to navigate that, to come out. And, you know, we got some awesome opportunities moving forward with some, you know, four division games, you know, the back end of the year, some other big time opportunities. I'm excited for where our guys are continuing to grow with.
The word rebuild often, you know, carries sort of this dirty word reputation a lot.
I love it.
But, you know, in the situation that you all are in, you know, what are some of the signs of optimism for you that this process is going in the right direction and that the vision is clear?
Yeah, I think our guys are growing. And, you know, I think that's an important aspect of this thing is, you know, it's always important to see a team grow together, you know, and there's different ages and different situations for all these players, for our veterans to continue to battle the way they've battled, to see DeMario and Cam and all those guys, the way they played on defense, you know, last week was really, really special, you know, and I think it shows the character and the focus that our guys have had each and every week. And so then you flip to the other side and see some of these younger guys that are having opportunities to play and battle and grow each and every step of the way. And to see them kind of take those little steps each week is exciting for me. And so, you know, I'm excited for our guys, excited for the opportunities moving forward to continue to stack this thing and put ourselves in a really good position.
I mean, true. You know, like that is 100% a good sign is if you're just getting better. And right now, on, you know, almost the end of November, Saints are starting to hit their stride. Everyone's seeming to come together at the same time. Like, the rookies have seemed to catch up with the rest of the roster, and it just seems like it's all kind of flourishing right now. It's all just kind of, all right, you know, we went through whatever, and now we're taking these baby steps, and now we're getting higher up there. And, I mean, testament to Kellen, testament to the coaching staff.
Coach, here's a new look without Rasheed in the offense now. What are you liking from the offense coming out of bye as a whole?
Yeah, I think it's great opportunities for some of our younger receivers.
Yep.
You know, Vele had certainly played a lot of snaps in this past game. He'll continue to do that.
It's crazy, man. He just can't get receptions. Yeah, it's nuts. Like, he's playing a ton of snaps. I don't know if just Tyler didn't look to him, you know, or whatever, but I thought last game he'd get a lot more work. He is basically in on every play, and the ball never goes to him.
Forward, you know, opportunities naturally come his way. You know, for some of these other guys, you know, like Tip and Dante to be up and ready to go and, you know, hop in there. You know, these guys are going to have more and more opportunities as this thing progresses, and I think it's important that those guys take advantage of those opportunities, which they will.
What can you say about Shuck's mental toughness so far in these two games that you evaluated?
Yeah, Tyler's just been really steady. You know, I think that's always the sign of a really special quarterback. Games are going to have this element of up and down. You know, there's going to be good plays. There's going to be plays that are challenging. And your ability to just stay right here and just continue to go is an important aspect of this thing. And, you know, I certainly have seen a lot of that out of Tyler the last few weeks.
I mean, even just Tyler's road to the team, right? Getting drafted in the second round, coming in, competing, quarterback competition, losing it, sitting, waiting, getting his chance, getting smoked in L.A., bouncing back against Carolina. I mean, even that alone has been quite the roller coaster ride, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. This was a great interview. It was insane. Me and Kellen are seeing things clear. Like, we're seeing things eye to eye. Shout out to the Goofy movie. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. I will see you in the next video. Peace.